You know, I one of the things I hope, you know, you only as a pastor can hope, is that if I can encourage you, if I can stimulate you to get excited about Scripture, if I can encourage you to open your Bible more and to start to look for what God might want to say to you, that will make my day. I actually sit in my office a lot of hours just saying, God, what do I need to say? I don't tell you what somebody else is preaching right now. I'm going to it and saying, God, speak to me. Help me to teach your people what they need to hear. And man, the book of John is just, it's just incredible. And this morning we're going to be answering a question, hopefully, for you. And the question is, who are you? And you might not think that is a question that needs to be answered, but I can assure you in our culture there is such confusion that simple question needs to be answered, especially for believers in Jesus Christ. But before I get to the main part, which is John chapter 1, verses 19 through 28, I want to kind of introduce you to somebody. Now, with the students every Wednesday night, I reward them when they remember things with candy. And I would like to do that with you on Sunday mornings, just so I know something's getting inside that head. I really would. But I'm not going to do that, but I'm not sure how many of you know that much about John the Baptist. I like to call him Crazy John. Because when you look at John the Baptist, and we're talking about him this morning, and we'll be leaving him this morning as well, I want to tell you a few things about this guy that just makes him one of my favorite characters. First of all, he is a miracle baby. He was born to Zechariah and Elizabeth, and Luke 1:17 says basically they were too old to have kids. They had given up. Now, John the Baptist's dad was a priest, and so he offered sacrifices. And because John the Baptist's dad was a priest, that means that John the Baptist could be a priest. And his dad, when he was offering a sacrifice, was visited by an angel and said, hey, you're going to have a baby, and here's what you're going to name him. You're going to name him John. So Zechariah and Elizabeth were his mom and dad. The interesting thing you need to understand is you read about John, and it's in the first chapter, but there's in other Gospels, is that John lived in the wilderness. Now, when you and I think about wilderness, we think trees, right? Well, in that part of the world, the wilderness was a desert. And here's the reason that John the Baptist went to live in the desert. Because the religion in Jerusalem, the priests, the Levites, the whole religious system in Jerusalem was corrupt. They worshiped power, they worshiped money, the whole thing was corrupt. And so John the Baptist said, hey, I'm out of here. I'm going to live in the wilderness. I'm going to live in the desert. So that is where he lived. He was an unusual guy. He would have fit in real well in Mount Ida. He wore camel skin. I mean, you know, he had hairy, you know, animal killings. You know, you guys here, it would be if he was in Mount Ida, John the Baptist would wear camo. And he would live out in the forest. And so he had camel skin clothing. He had a leather belt. And he ate wild honey and locust. He lived off the land. He was one of those natural guys. He was just kind of crazy. He wasn't afraid to confront a king. He wasn't, as a matter of fact, he confronted a couple of the people in authority. And he said, hey, You're married to her. The only problem is it's your brother's wife. I mean, the guy was bold. He was courageous. He was a Nazirite. That meant basically that he took a vow to not cut his hair, to not touch alcohol, and to not touch dead bodies. So just picture this guy with camel skin and long hair and living out in the boonies and just living off the land. I mean, he was a wild character. Now here's a cool thing. The Bible tells us in Luke 1:15, it's the only person I know of that he was filled with the Holy Spirit before he was born. Filled with the Holy Spirit before he was born. That's in Luke 1:15. John the Baptist also had his job, which we'll look at this morning. His job was to prepare the people of God, the Jews, for the coming of the Messiah. His whole life was given to that one task. And so therefore, he knew exactly what his job was. Now here's another interesting thing. He was about 6 months older than Jesus, and they were family. They were kin. John the Baptist and Jesus were related. But the final thing that you need to understand about John the Baptist, God had been silent for 400 years. The book of Malachi tells us that there would be one in the future, but over 400 years have gone by and there had been no word from God, no prophet from God, and until John the Baptist. And so when John the Baptist comes, he's the first prophet in over 400 years to speak for God to the Jewish people. And his main job was to prepare the people for the coming of Christ. So what all does this crazy John have to do with you and me? Well, that's what John chapter 1, beginning in verse 19, tells us. So look at me at John chapter 1, beginning in verse 19. He says, this was John's testimony when the Jewish leaders sent priests and temple assistants from Jerusalem to ask John, who are you? He came right out and said, I am not the Messiah. Well then, who are you? They asked. Are you Elijah? No, he replied. Are you the prophet we are expecting? No. Then who are you? We need an answer for those who sent us. What do you have to say about yourself? So they ask him, who are you? What do you have to say? Look what he says. John replied in the words of the prophet Isaiah, I am a voice. I like the NIV translation better. I am the voice. I am the voice shouting in the wilderness, clear the way for the Lord's coming. Then the Pharisees, you remember them, they didn't like Jesus. Then the Pharisees who had been sent asked him, if you aren't the Messiah or Elijah or the prophet, what right do you have to baptize? John told them, I baptize with water, but right here in the crowd is someone you do not recognize. Though his ministry follows mine, I am not even worthy to be his slave and untie the straps of his sandal. This encounter took place in Bethany on the area east of the Jordan River where John was baptizing. So what all does that have to say to you and me this morning? Well, there's actually, I think, a lot. The first thing I want to try to answer is that it is incredibly important that you know who you are if you're a believer in Jesus Christ. You see, John the Baptist was very confident in who he was. He had these priests. He had the authorities had got word that he was preaching and baptizing. And so the Pharisees and the authorities sent a group to check him out. They wanted to know, why was he doing this? Was he the Messiah? Because they were terrified of the Messiah-like people that would appear in their culture and say, I'm the Messiah. Everybody get all excited, and they would have to put it down. And so they were coming to him, and they're asking him, who are you? Now, the people they sent were priests and Levites. Priests were the ones that offered the sacrifices. The Levites were the ones who assisted them in doing the work of the temple. They were considered, these people who came to John the Baptist were considered the people who kept the law. They were making sure that religion was working the way it should work. And so they come to John the Baptist and they ask the simple question, who are you? They're wanting to know his credentials. You see, in that day, if you did not have the right credentials, you weren't allowed to do ministry. He was baptizing. Now remember, his dad was a priest. Remember, John the Baptist was a rabbi. He had a group that followed him, and he would teach them. And we'll see next week, he'd look at Jesus and go, that's him, he's right there, the Lamb of God. John knew who he was, but these other people did not. They came to him. Who are you? He said, I am not the Messiah. Then who are you? Are you Elijah? Now, why did they say Elijah? Well, the Old Testament people who read the Old Testament thought that Elijah would come back right before the coming of the Messiah. John the Baptist was not Elijah, but he was Elijah-like. Does that make sense? Both of them wore animal skins. Both of them confronted kings and queens with their sin. Both of them called the people of God back to repentance. But he wasn't Elijah. And then they said, are you the prophet? You see, in Deuteronomy 18:15, Moses was leaving, and he says, someday God's going to send another prophet, really referring to the Messiah. They just wanted to know, are you the guy? And I love it because he said, no. They say in verse 22, then who are you? We need an answer for those who sent us. What do you have to say about yourself? You see, these guys had to give a report. They had to say who he is. And I love it because in verse 23, he makes it so plain. He says, here, let me give you a paraphrase. He looks at me and says, I'm the voice. Now, we all know the TV show, The Voice. John the Baptist said, no, I'm the voice. I'm not the Messiah. I am the voice. I am the one who clears the way with my message. So here's what happened. John left Jerusalem and he went to the wilderness and he started preaching repentance. He started calling the people of God to quit living sinful lives and to get ready for the Messiah, because his job was to get the religious people in line so Jesus could come into their hearts and change them. Their hearts had become hard. And so John says, I am the voice shouting in the wilderness. Clear the way for the Lord's coming. In that day, when a king would come, they would send a group out in front. And their job was to remove all the obstacles, to make the path straight, because the king is coming. And so John the Baptist is saying, hey, listen, dude, I am the road builder. I am the one in the wilderness getting things ready for the king to come. Who was the king? Jesus. John knew who he was. So what does that have to do with us? You see, I think a lot of times people call themselves Christians, but they don't know who they are. I have a grandson. I know y'all never see me post pictures of any of my grandchildren. But I have a grandson, the youngest one. Got another one on the way. Three. How much am I going to be on Facebook with three grandsons? Okay? Because that's my joy after her. Zane, he's the youngest. He's at our house last weekend. And, you know, being a... To him, I'm Puff. To Liam, I'm Bear. I know that's confusing to you. It's real confusing to me. I have two different names. But anyway, here's Zane. He's 2.5, be 3, almost 3, yeah. And he already knows who he is. I just kind of like to mess with him every once in a while. Is that a grandfather thing? But I'll go up to him and I'll go, "Hey, you're Zany Bohaney." And he'd go, "No, I'm Liam, I don't even know his name. Too many kids, too many grandkids. He goes, "No, I'm Zane Krause. I'm not Zany Bohaney." I go, "Oh, you're Zany Bohaney." I am not Zany Bohaney. I am Zane Krause. And we get into this thing. The only problem was I didn't think about it. There's Liam listening. So Liam starts go, "Zany Bohaney." So I probably need to cut that out. But here's the point. He knows who he is. He is not Zany Bohaney. He is not Zany Bohaney. So what does that have to do with you? Do you know who you are? If a delegation was to come and say, "Who are you?" What would you say? What would you say? Why are you doing what you do? What would you say? You see, John had become a rock star in his day. They were coming from everywhere. They wanted to know who he was. And John knew exactly who he was. You go back to verse 12. Who was he? He's a child of God. Look at verse 12. Verse 12 says, "But to all who believed in him, but to all who believed in him and accepted him, he gave the right to become the children of God." He was a child of God. Now, I don't know if you know this or not, but if someone was to come to you and say, "Who are you?" You ought to begin, if you're a believer, with, "I'm a child of God. I'm forgiven. I am loved. I am a child of the King. I'm a child of God." You need to know who you are. You're forgiven. You're a child of the King. People today don't know that anymore. Let me give you an example. One of the Christian counselors I love to listen to, his name's John Deloney. I quote him all the time. And not too long ago, he had a situation where a stepmother called in with a problem her and her husband were having with their 16-year-old, her stepdaughter, his daughter. Here's the problem. She comes into their house thinking she's a fox. And she comes into their house and expects her mom and dad to treat her as a fox. And her mother, her birth mother, where she lives, allows her to live in her house as a fox. The question the stepmother had, was, should we allow her? Because when she comes to their house for their visit, she begins to try to teach their children that they're foxes too. And it was interesting to list, because he's a licensed, trained counselor. And he was not rude. And he said, hey, when a kid's young, fantasy is a part of it. But when it gets to be a teenage years, he goes, do you really need me to tell you not to treat her like a fox? Now, please understand me. Please understand me. When a person, when a kid, when a teenager is struggling like that, you're not mean to them. You love them unconditionally. But your job as an adult is to help them understand they're not a fox. They're called furries, I think. It's a whole group. And, I mean, I've heard some crazy stuff. Who is that girl? That girl is a child of God, created in the image of God. Now, you may think that's funny, but what about you? What baggage did you walk in this morning? What police record do you have in your past? What mistakes do you walk in feeling like a child of the King? Do you walk in feeling forgiven? Do you walk in feeling like you're a child of God? Or do you have baggage that says, if you only knew what I did, if you really knew who I was, if you really knew the kind of person I am. I mean, that happens all the time. People walk into the church and they're carrying baggage and they don't want you to know these things. But the truth is, if you know Jesus Christ, you're a child of God. You're created in the image of God. Yes, you have a past. Yes, you have consequences. He got over it. Why can't you? Do you know who you are? When I look at people, and you know, my business is knowing stories. When someone tells me a bad story about their past, I just celebrate with hallelujah, that's the past. When are you going to let it be the past? We all have a past. I have a past. You have a past. Do you know who you are? Are you a child? Now, if you're not a Christian, you still got your past. You're carrying the bags and you're responsible for the contents. But when you believe Him, when you accept Him, and that's where you change. If these teenagers go to school as children of God versus children who don't know who they are, they make different decisions, or they should. Same way with adults. When you know that you're a child of God, you act differently because your daddy is different. Does that make any sense? When you are a child of God, you don't bring the suitcase of guilt and shame with you. You leave it in the past where He died for it. Do you know who you are? People don't know anymore. How could anyone think they're an animal when they're a human in the image of God? I feel for that girl and I would love and try to help her. But it's crazy to think she's a fox. Second thing, do you know your ministry? The thing about John, he knows what his ministry is. I'm the voice. I'm the road builder. And when he talked to those Pharisees who wanted to know the answer, he said, hey, this is who I am. They were questioning his credentials. And he told them, I baptized with water, but right here in the crowd is someone you do not recognize. Though his ministry follows mine, I'm not worthy to be his slave and untie the straps of his sandal. You see, John got into trouble. Here's why he got, that's why they're so mad. It was because he was Jewish and he was baptizing by immersion Jews. Now see, that didn't happen. Because the only people that were rebaptized or baptized immersed in water in that day, the only people were Gentiles who became Jews, and they had to do three things. They had to go and confess all their wickedness and all their sin. The second thing, they had to be totally immersed. You say why? It was symbolic of washing all that Gentile sin away. And then the third thing, when they came out of the water, they were handed a new set of clothes to remind them that they are the community of the people who keep the law. And see, you only did that to Gentiles. Here's the problem. John's job was to prepare the people for the coming of the Messiah. What was the problem with the people? They were sinning. They had religion, but they were sinning like crazy. So John goes out there and says, okay, we invite you to get baptized. We invite you to come. And when they came, they rebaptized them, and that ticked off the religious establishment. But it was John's job. And John says, hey, I'm just using water. There's a guy coming after me. It's really going to get you. But the thing I love, he knows his job. Now, this is going to blow your mind. Do you know your job? Every believer in this church has a job to do in this church. And every time you do your job, you make it easier for the kingdom of God to come to someone else. Now, everybody has different jobs. You know, you got old Caleb and Dakota in the sound booth back there. I would not want Caleb's job. Are you the one that changes the songs? Oh my gosh. You talk about hard. You got to change it right before you get to the end of it. But that's his job. Dakota's back there. You know, Dakota may be the most powerful man in the church because he can shut me down just like that. You know, cut the... But that's their job. We have people who come and cook. There's a group that never showed up this morning that are down getting the food ready for the kids, Bob and all them. Be sure to thank them. That's their job. That's what they do well. Wednesday night, we have people who work with kids. Every one of you, you say, well, I'm not a preacher. And here's how we do it. We have like an A tier, a team, a B team, and a C team. And if you're on the A team, you're active. If you're on the B team, you just show up. And if you're on the C team, you're just on the roll somewhere. There's only one team. It needs to be active. It needs to be the one where you serve. You say, well, I can't preach. I don't want any competition, okay? That's my job. But let me tell you what. There is something for you to do. These teenagers on Wednesday nights I'm meeting with, man, I can't. You say, Bill, why would you do that? There is no greater joy than helping a teenager live for Christ. And I can't understand, I'm just going to be blunt, I can't understand why every one of you don't want to help me. you say, well, I'm not a teacher. You don't have to be. Or helping with the kids on Wednesday night. Or helping in Sunday school. Or just shaking hands. Passing out bulletins. Moving tables. Everybody has a job. John the Baptist knew what his job is. Do you know what your job is? And every job in this church leads people to Christ. So take it serious. Third thing, do you see yourself as a slave? You look at verse 27. In verse 27, he says, though his ministry follows mine, I'm not even worthy to be his slave. And untie the straps of his sandal. Here's the deal. What John is telling us is that John the Baptist said, hey, I am so low on the totem pole, even though Jesus said he was the greatest man to ever live. He said, I'm so low on the totem pole, I'm not even worthy to take Jesus' sandals off his feet and wash them. Do you want to know how to get rid of any problem in any church? I'm going to tell you real quick. Help every single person in the church realize they're a slave to Christ. You say, how does that help? If you're a slave to Christ, that means you have no rights. Your only job when you're a slave to Christ is to do what the master tells you. So here's how it works. You come in. Pastor, you keep the church too cold. You don't have a right to, or you keep it too hot. Have you ever tried regulating the temperature? Well, if you're married, you have, but you can't make it. Preacher, we only should sing this kind of song. Oh, really? Or do this. We only do it this way, Pastor. No, no. We only have one master to listen to. You know what his name is? Jesus. John the Baptist says, I am such a slave. And Jesus said he's the greatest man that ever lived. He says, I am such a slave that I am not even worthy to untie his sandals. When you have that attitude about life, it changes everything. So are you a servant? A servant says, what do I need to do? Not do for me. And then the last thing, and I'm done. Don't miss the Messiah for religion. You look at verse 26. The religious people are wanting to find out who he is. And the reason they're wanting to find out who he is because they're wanting to know who he is because they, he's not following their rules. And in verse 26, he says, listen, you guys are so concerned with me. You don't even recognize who's with you. Who's he talking about? He's talking about the Messiah. Here's the point. You can have religion and miss the Messiah. You can have... Listen, I hate to tell you this. There are going to be a lot of Baptists that are going to wake up in the wrong place when they die. Because they're Baptist. But they never got Jesus. If you miss the Messiah. These guys had religion. They just didn't have the Messiah. The last thing I'd ever want is for you to have a religion and not to have a relationship with the Messiah. My job, if I don't help you see religion is dead end, I've failed. Don't be so religious that you don't see the Messiah. John says he's right there. He's in the crowd. You don't even know he's here. You want to know about me. I want you to know about him. You've missed him. So those four things. Do you know who you are? Do you know your ministry? Do you see yourself as a slave? Do you recognize him? When you get it, like John the Baptist got it, you'll even die for him. Because it eventually cost him his head. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you so much for John the Baptist. He was crazy. He was sold out. He was 100% all yours. Lord, I thank you for his example. I pray that everybody in this room has the grace of Jesus Christ and have left the baggage of their failures in the past. I pray everybody here has a job. And Father, I pray that we would not follow religion, but we would follow the Messiah. Father, I thank you so much for the good news of Jesus Christ, because it is good. And so, Father, be with us. Help us to be the church as we leave. In Jesus' name we pray.